By and large, the evangelical church these days has lost a healthy fear of God and thus for sin. It's just a self-help place. You can go there to get help. Jesus for this life only, that's what they should call a church. But the reality is, we are being set apart for eternity. We're being set apart, and God is wanting us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina, and our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church.
And Dave, today it's Letter Day, but before we get to our letter, I just want to share that we are so thankful to the Lord for all of you who are supporting this ministry, whether it's through prayers or financial support. We thank God and praise Him for His provision through you. And so thank you so much for your gracious, faithful, ongoing support of the ministry of Equipping the Saints. And now with that said, it is Letter Day, and I have a note from Rusty and Marna from Wisconsin. They write, "Dear Equipping the Saints, they are so thankful, grateful, and blessed for your ministry." Well, Rusty and Marna, we are praising God for His work through His Word in blessing those who listen. So thank you for your encouragement.
Greg, today you ask and answer the question, how are we to live the Christian life? And I think the answer may surprise some people.
Well, Dave, you're probably right, because what we're going to learn today is not taught in many churches across America. Yet I believe what the Apostle Paul will tell us in these two short verses in Philippians has the power to revolutionize our lives, and especially thus the church. So with that in mind, let's find out what we're talking about. Turn with us to Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at verses 12 through 13.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
The very word graphically portrays the depth of the fear that Paul, inspired by the Spirit, wants us to feel as we work out our salvation or as we obey. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean to work out our salvation with fear and trembling in reference to God? What does that mean? What does it mean to do so? Well, we need to think properly. We need to have a proper view of God as revealed in His Word. We need to recognize a proper view of sin, and we need to think about it rightly. Exodus 20:20 speaks of fear. You can turn there, Exodus 20:20. Because there's a difference between being afraid and fearing. It's a difference of being afraid and fearing. But we should, as we'll see in a moment, be traumatized by the thought of disobeying our God. That should traumatize us. You know, we fear about everything else. We're traumatized about this event, this person, that person. We're not traumatized about the thought of actually blatantly disobeying God. Okay, we need to think about that. So Exodus 20, verse 18, this is on Mount Sinai. "And all the people perceived the thunder and the lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And the people saw it, and they trembled and stood at a distance. And they said to Moses, 'Speak to us yourself, and we will listen. But let not God speak to us, lest we die.' And Moses said to the people, 'Do not be afraid,' or 'Do not fear, for God has come in order to test you, in order that the fear of Him may remain on you, so that you may not sin." A proper reverencing of God, a proper understanding of who He is and what He has done will help us not sin. We're not afraid of Him. Perfect love casts out fear. This is a reverence, but a holy reverence. In Hebrews chapter 12, the writer speaks of Moses as being full of fear and trembling when he was on the mountain. And I think if you were to experience what they experienced there, you might be a little fearful seeing how powerful our God is, right? You might remember the early response of the church when God disciplined unto death Ananias. Do you remember that? Let's take a look there. Let's look at Acts chapter 5. We just take sin too lightly, brothers and sisters. We do. And we just kind of walk into it, and we don't think rightly in that situation. We're not going to be working it out. We're not going to be obeying. We've got to think of it rightly. Now, this is for us. It's not for us to point to anyone else. Say, you work it out, you work it out. It's for us to analyze ourselves. This is for us. Acts chapter 5, verse 4, in the middle of it. This is with Ananias and Sapphira. They had sold some land and basically made it look like they were giving all the proceeds to God, but they really held back and had control. It was a deceitful way to get the church to think they were giving, in a sense, for man, but they were lying to the Holy Spirit. He says, "Why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart?" Acts 5:4 in the middle. "You have not lied to men, but to God." And as he heard these words, Ananias fell down and breathed his last. And great fear came upon those who heard of it. Then look at verse 9. This is talking to his wife. Opportunity to come clean, but she doesn't. "Then Peter said to her, 'Why is it that you have agreed together to put the Spirit of the Lord to the test? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out as well.' And she fell immediately at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead. And they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard these things." You know, we get away with sin so easily, we don't think of the consequences. There are consequences. There are God discipline. There are consequences in relationships, consequences for other people. But we seem to just go without impunity. We just go and do it. But the reality is, we're sinning against a God who sent his son to pay the full penalty for those sins. It's a very serious thing, and we need to have a different mindset towards it. Think of some of these passages. How about Psalm 4? Let's turn to Psalm 4, verse 3. "But know that the Lord has set apart the godly man for himself. The Lord hears when I call." Psalm 4, verse 4. "Tremble and do not sin. Meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Offer sacrifices of righteousness and trust in the Lord." Isaiah 66, I'll read this for you. "Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is a house that you could build for me? And where is a place that I may rest? For my hand made all these things. Thus all the things came into being, declares the Lord. But to this one I will look. To him who is humble and contrite of spirit and who trembles at my word." You know, when someone says something that has super great effect on you or has super great consequences, you're going to have a fear in a sense. You know, if you were in a courtroom and they were giving you the statement of your sentence or whatever it was, those words are very powerful. They determine what's going to happen to you, right? And the reality is we need to take God's word more seriously. We need to have a healthy fear of sin. You got to have a healthy fear of God. One pastor writes, "The salvation spoken of here is not justification, but sanctification. Victory over sin and living a life pleasing to the Lord Jesus, sanctification. They are to make progress in their Christian lives. They are to do this with fear and trembling. This is not a slavish terror, but a wholesome caution. This fear is self-distrust. It is tenderness of conscience. It is a vigilance against temptation. It is a fear in which inspiration opposes the high-minded in the admonition. Be not high-minded." It's a fear against those things, right? Where we are not to be high-minded. "It's taking heed lest we fall. It's a constant apprehension of the deceitfulness of one's heart, the insidious power of inward corruption. It is the caution of circumstance and timidity that shrinks back from whatever would offend and dishonor God, our Savior." It's upping your fear of God and the circumstances surrounding those choices we make so easily to sin, right? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17, "And if you address the Father who harshly judges one according to each man's work," you know, we escaped that. We escaped his judgment. We escaped eternal hell. There are people who will live in hell forever and ever for the sins we take so lightly that Jesus has forgiven us from. He says, "Conduct yourselves with fear during your time stay in the earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver and gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with the precious blood as of a lamb unblemished, spotless, the blood of Christ." By and large, the evangelical church these days has lost a healthy fear of God and thus for sin. It's just a self-help place. You can go there to get help. Jesus for this life only. That's what they should call the church. But the reality is we are being set apart for eternity. We're being set apart, and God is wanting us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And for the non-believer, there is no fear of God before their eyes. They just do things without fearing truly what's going on, right, with the Lord. Psalm 34, we read part of this earlier, but I want to read it again. Psalm 34, verse 7. And actually, I'm going to read a few psalms before this, okay? Psalm 33, verse 8, let all the earth fear the Lord, let the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Psalm 98, verse 9, I'll read it for you. Worship the Lord in holy attire, tremble before him, all the earth. Psalm 2, verse 11, worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. And then Psalm 34, verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. When you fear God, you're in a good place. God is encamping around you and rescues you. So we have a general understanding of the fear of the Lord and trembling. And what other examples do we have? What New Testament examples do we have? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul, he came to those in Corinth with fear and trembling. He was very concerned about obeying the Lord and sharing the word rightly for them. See that 1 Corinthians 2, you can read that. In 2 Corinthians 7, we can actually turn there. 2 Corinthians 7, I'm going to read this verse 13, New Testament example here of fear and trembling. For this reason we have been comforted, and besides our comfort, we rejoiced even much more for the joy of Titus, because his spirit has been refreshed by you all. So Paul sent Titus, and the Corinthians responded rightly. And he says here, for if in anything I boasted to him about you, I was not put to shame. But as we spoke all things to you in truth, so also our boasting before Titus proved to be the truth. And his affection abounds all the more towards you, as he remembers, notice this, the obedience of you all, how you received him with fear and trembling. Titus was coming with the authority of Paul, and thus the authority of the Lord, in the context of a church that was sinning. And they received him rightly with fear and trembling. They were concerned. We see that. It was another example, New Testament example, Ephesians 6, and we'll move forward here. Ephesians 6, verse 5. This has to do with how you should treat your believing bosses. You know, even in obedience, the attitudes we should have in the sphere of obedience. Ephesians 6, 5. Slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh with all what? Fear and trembling. That's just your regular boss. In sincerity of your heart, as to Christ, not by way of eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will, render service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good thing each one does, thus he will see back from the Lord, whether slave or free. You better obey your boss with fear and trembling because you're serving Jesus. He represents Jesus. He is representing that, not that he is, but he has the authority over you. You serve the Lord, not him. You better obey him with fear and trembling. And that can apply to everything. So we are to work out our salvation with the right attitude towards the Lord and towards our propensity to sin. Right? We've got to have the right attitude with fear and trembling. We don't want to blow it, but we want to please him. We want to please the Lord. We don't want to blow it. We don't want to dishonor him. We don't want to hurt others. We don't want to hurt him, grieve the Holy Spirit, but we want to please him. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And some of us need to confess that we have sinned without fearing or trembling at all about those actions that we just did and didn't care about it. We just went for it. Not good. We need to confess that, be forgiven, and step forward and work out our salvation with fear and trembling. So we have the mandate, work it out. We have the means with the fear and trembling of God and sin, right? That's the manner. And then we have the means. Notice verse 13, back in our passage. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. There you go. There's the means. God is the one working. He's the one working in us. And we can't separate these two verses. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for God is at work in you. They go together. Here we see the reality of God working in us and then our responsibility to work it out thoroughly. God is changing our hearts. He's working in us through His Word, and we're to work that out because He's working in us. We're to work it out. When He changes our hearts from His Word concerning our behavior, we need to step out in obedience and faith and do it. Here we have a different word here for working on it. It's just energeo, and it comes from ergon, means to work, or being at work, putting forth power. It could be translated energize. We should be working on our salvation because God is energizing us. He's working in us, right? Because He's working in us, we should work it out. God is the one working in us. And how does He work in us? Well, the Spirit of God uses the Word of God to change our wills and to align our desires with God's desires. To see sin rightly, to see Him rightly, to see circumstances differently. He works in us by His Word, and He gives us thus a desire to obey. And if we step out in faith, choosing to obey rather than choosing to disobey, you've got the choice, He will empower us because He is the one at work in us. You can rest in Him and allow His Word to work in you, and He will help you as you step out. You make the choice to obey. There was one person who said, we've never given the power to do within ourselves. We have the power to choose. What we choose determines what we do, and what we do is empowered by the living God. We trust Him to empower us when we choose to obey Him. Think about this, a few verses, and we'll finish up here. In John chapter 15, Jesus says, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. We abide in Jesus. We trust in Him. You know, the Bible says, don't worry. So I trust in the Lord and I abide in Him. And He protects my mind as I'm thankful and as I'm praying and requesting. He reveals His character, that He is a God who is slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. And He uses that to work in us, that we would have a desire to be like Him. We allow His Word to have stop gates on us, to work. He speaks to us. He directs us. We walk with the Lord. It's as if the Lord is next to us and we're tempted. He says, hey, remember this? No, right? Don't do that. He's speaking to us through His Word. And we're responding, yes, Lord, okay, I trust you. I'm going to do this instead. We have a relationship with Him, you see? We're abiding in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, not that we're adequate to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. This is the means in which we do it. It's the Lord. He will do it through us. Philippians 4:13, same book we're looking at right now. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, wait a second. When I'm trapped in sin, I say, I can't do all things because I'm this way. No, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I trust that if He has called me to do this, if I step out in faith, He will do it in me. I trust Him. I believe He is a powerful God. You see, if I don't believe He's powerful, if I believe sin is more powerful than God, then I'm not going to step out in faith. If I think sin's grasp on me is more powerful than the living God, that's a sin in itself. But think about His power. Very clearly, Ephesians, Paul made clear in chapter 1 that we might know what is the surpassing greatness of His power towards those who believe. When you want to obey and you trust Him, He will empower you to do so. When you make that decision, I want to obey you in how I think about this. I don't want to be embittered to my wife. I don't want to be disrespectful to my husband. Lord, I want to step forward and do the right thing. He'll help you. He'll enable you. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond what we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. It's a matter of faith. Do you believe God is more powerful than the sin you are feeling? Confess it. Step forward, obey the Lord, be set free. If the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. Now, if you set yourself free through some mental, spiritual gymnastics of fake, false confession, that's different. But if you truly confess and you repent, the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. Again, I mentioned this earlier, but 2 Thessalonians 2:13, but we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for a salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. Tremendous, tremendous reality. God's Spirit teaches and applies His Word to our hearts. He changes our desires and thus our actions and our desire to obey. We step out by faith. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Lastly, notice he says here that God is at work in you to do something, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. The term to will means to will or to desire, to work in unto His good pleasure. Ultimately, God is working out His will by working in us. He's working in us to work His will out. And that's for His good pleasure, that which pleases Him. It pleases Him when we obey Him by faith. It pleases God. It pleases Him. And it blesses you, by the way. It blesses those around you. It's a blessing to obey the Lord. Now, if you look at our Lord Jesus, He could have said, you know, they treat me so bad. They despise me. No one's following me. They don't pay attention to me. Look, if they want to do this. No. In the light of all the evil man brought upon Him, He humbled Himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death of the cross. Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If you want to please God with the right heart attitude, step out in His power and strength and obey Him. And so I ask you here, where is it in your life that God is really working on an area to work out your salvation, to work it out in fear and trembling? Where have you failed? Where have we failed? I say this to myself, what spheres have we failed and not truly feared and truly trembled over the decisions we were making to sin? Where have we not feared? Work it out with fear and trembling. For God is at work in you. He's working in you. To will and to work out, or to work, is good pleasure. It's good. It's very good. So then, some of you might be sitting here saying, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, the reality is maybe you don't know the Lord. Maybe God has never worked out anything in you because you have never truly feared Him concerning the consequences of your sin, the eternal consequences. And God would call upon you to repent and believe in His Son Jesus and to be saved. And once you do that, you'll have a changed heart that can and enable to fear God. But we can get hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Confess that. Get it out. Confess it. And fear God and keep His commands by His power and strength. And you will experience a relationship with the living God that no matter what you go through, brings joy and peace.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, in the moments we have remaining in today's program, help me understand what you meant when you said, we are not able to work out our own salvation.
Dave, we learn in the Word of God, here's the life you are to lead, and by the way, you can't do it on your own. It's impossible. And it's only when we submit and humble ourselves and allow Christ to do the work through us that we accomplish what Scripture commands. And the way we begin this process is by having a healthy and righteous fear of God, a fear that is based on a true understanding that He is the Almighty God, that He is powerful, that He is the Creator of all things. When we start there recognizing who He is and our utter inability to live a godly life, it's only then when we trust Him and obey Him that He has free rein to work through us to accomplish His will. So I ask you today, what is your view of God?
Do you fear him? Are you willing to allow him to live his life through you? Are you willing to work out your life with fear and trembling? That's the first step to living the Christian life as it was meant to be lived, in obedience to his word.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.